writing about his previous experiences in his life. When looking back over the things that have happened in life, many of us have mingled emotions. You know, and in doing so, there is also a tendency to look back in comparison to how things are now. How much of our past, I guess, is the question, should we remember? Should we let be in our minds on a daily basis? There are many things that we want to keep in our minds because they serve as a teaching element for current situations. You know, if you have come out of a situation that you know is a bad situation, and because of Jesus Christ, it has brought you to a better place in this life, you need to always remember where you were and where you are. Say, I never want to go back there, because I know what that life gave me, and I know what Jesus Christ gives me now. So there are things that we want to remind us of what we don't want to be anymore. Experience is often the best teacher, and some of us know all too well that experience many times is the only teacher, isn't it? There are things, and I've talked to young preachers many times, me and Denny talked about this while he was here, you know, there are things that you cannot teach a preacher in a classroom. There are things that you learn as a preacher, and elders are the same thing. You couldn't teach a class on eldering and teach elders everything that they need to know in a classroom, because there are things that you can only learn in preaching and teaching, and probably this is the case in any job, that you can only learn on the job. You can only learn when you're up to your neck in whatever you're having to do, having to find your way through. You know, others of us know experience is always the hardest teacher, because you have to take the test before you can learn the lesson, right? I like those where you can learn the lesson and then take the test, but this is the one where you have to go through the test and then you learn the lesson from it. On the other hand, some things must be forgotten completely if we are to stay sane and experience a productive Christian walk. You know, now you can look at the Apostle Paul's writings, and you can see him talk about the days in which he murdered Christians, he imprisoned Christians, he took Christians violently and put them into prison, all the things that he did. And you can hear in him, I need to remember these things so that I always remember I am chief of sinners, right, as he told young Timothy. And that Jesus Christ gave the greatest example of his love and his grace by saving me. That's what he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's determination to forget the past was a part of his resolve, though, to never rest as he faced the future. He would not allow any memory of failure to bring depression into his life or to slow him down. He was determined to have the same mind concerning the future as that of the athlete, with his eyes and thoughts fixed on the goal, as he said in Hebrews chapter 12. That I press on, that I'm literally driving with my eyes focused on Jesus Christ. I have no other, you know, if you watch the Olympics and you watch those guys that run those dashes, they're not looking at where the other guys are around them, because the minute you look at where the other guys around you, you slow down. You slow down. They were talking about that in the World Series and my Cardinals won. Sorry, Daryl. Love you, brother. But they were talking about that. You know, one of the runners was running around the base. He should have been watching the third base coach as he was running the third, but he looked back to the outfield and he immediately slowed down, and it cost him a run. So we run focused, straight ahead, not looking around us, but looking at the one goal, and that is Jesus Christ. We have our eyes and our thoughts fixed on Him. And when we do this, we cannot look back. Looking back does several things that hinder our forward progress. Slows us down, puts us off balance, and it changes our focus. Now, if you grew up on a farm, and I know some here did, if you're plowing and you take your eyes off the other end to look back at what you plowed, what do? You put a zigzag in your life. You put a zigzag in the field. Jesus even said, the man that puts his hand to the plow must not look back, right? My dad talks about when he was plowing, how angry his grandfather would get at him because he would do that. And of course, then it takes a lot of plowing to get that fixed. And his grandfather gets so mad at him when he was young, and he would look back and put a zag out in the field. You know, whatever the past has been, God wants to make certain that it will not hinder us. And that is done by concentrating and focusing our lives on what lies ahead. Sometimes our previous sins may have left such a deep mark on our souls that it seems that we can never remove them from our memory. But we have to find ways to do that. We have to learn to either make them something that drives us forward or something that we put away. It's sort of like a cache of memory on your computer, right? If ever so often you don't go in there and clean that out, your computer just gets slower and slower and slower, doesn't it? So you got to go in there and you got to get rid of all that stuff you've done in the past so that you can do things in the future. And until we clear the past, we will slow down every day as we move forward till we come to a stop. You know, likewise, our past sins have been removed to make us better. We don't need to be bogged down with them. It is so easy and it is so simple to receive the forgiveness of God, isn't it? And it is so hard and it is so painful to forgive ourselves. It is so hard. I wish that I had the ability of God to forgive and completely forget. But we don't have that ability. It's very difficult to forget the things that we have been forgiven of. You know, Christ has cleared them from our lives. He's cleared them if we've been obedient to His words. We need to clear them from our futures. We need to get them out. There are obstacles in front of us many times that keep us from moving forward at the pace that we need to move forward at. We own the assurance that God has removed our sins through the precious blood of His only Son, Jesus Christ. And never allow your mind to dwell on your mistakes, because in them you make another one. In that you bring ruin to your life. Folks, a mistake made cannot be changed. And all the dwelling on it and all the thinking about it and all the sitting around being sad about it isn't going to change that moment. It is a waste of life. It is a waste of energy. Energy that can be given to God. Be driven by it, not held back by it. I don't want to be that person again. I don't want to make that mistake again. I never want that sin in my life again. I'm going to do everything I can to ensure that my life is something that will never repeat that. When I have that determination, and folks, that's not easy. Too often in society today, we want the easy way out. Just tell me the one thing I need to do or this thing I need to do, and that makes it all go away. It doesn't work like that. We have to work at it. We have to press on, as the Apostle Paul said. Constantly working to bring every thought into captivity, to bring everything in our lives into captivity to Jesus Christ, that He might be our focus and our goal. We should pray constantly that God will give us the courage and the strength that enables us to never sit lamenting among the ruins of our happiness or our integrity. If we will surrender to God completely, He will provide us with the strength we need to forget our failure and to move on in a life with Him. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and He will. Not maybe He will or He might. He will draw near to you. Peter tells us to cast all our cares upon Him, right? Why? Because He cares for us. Are you forgetting the past, drawing nearer to God? Once we have done that, then we can better do the next step, which is face the future. Verse 12 says, reaching forward to what lies ahead. So forgetting what lies behind and pressing on or moving forward to the future that lies ahead. We cannot live in the past. We must face the reality of today. We must plan wisely for the future. And this does not mean that we should ignore the advice of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. When He said, do not be anxious for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 34, Jesus was speaking in that context concerning the foolishness of becoming distracted by material possessions and failing to trust in God. Wise people plan for the future and rejoice over the blessings of God. I mean, even when we talked about last week in the prayer, the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We deal with today. And we deal with it with God so that a future can be secure. Paul pictures his enthusiasm for life as reaching forth, which is an interesting phrase because that is translated from a word that would be, if you want an idea of what he's talking about here, when he says reaching forward, it is like those pictures that you see of a race finishing and the runners are reaching with everything they've got. They're leaned forward and their hands out and they're reaching for that tape to be the one to get to the tape first. It is that great effort, that last push to get there. It is that running to first base in baseball and giving it up. You're all on that last long step to hit the bag. It is everything you've got in a moment, given in one direction to one goal. That's Jesus Christ. You know, we have our eyes on nothing but the goal. We have our arms reaching for nothing but the goal. Our lives are pushing forward, flat out to the finish. Now, this is the type of enthusiastic striving that brings flavor to life and motivates others to follow in our steps. I have seen people like this, and I love them because I look at them and I go, man, I want to be like that. I want to have that kind of person's enthusiasm. I want their drive. I want what they've got. And folks, if you have that in this group here today, you will cause people in this room to want to be like you too, because it's a wonderful thing to see. Child of God, giving his all. You know, there's always more ahead for the Christian who is positive and pushing forward. This type of enthusiastic reaching for the future must consciously include the Lord in every thought, in every activity, in every conversation, until the habit is established in our lives. And when this happens in our lives, there will be better tomorrows. You know, when we talk about Jesus Christ being in every conversation, in every activity, and everything, I remember a sermon called, Can You Recommend Your Religion? Preached by, I can't remember which brother it was now off the top of my head. It may have been Brother George Bailey who preached it. But a wonderful sermon. And one of the points in that was, if your religion and your business don't mix, you need a new business. If your religion and your recreation don't mix, you need a new recreation. If anything in your religion do not mix, whatever it is that's not mixing with Jesus Christ needs to go, so that you can recommend your religion to all, so that you will live the life that Jesus Christ wants. And third, we need to keep our eyes on the goal. Verse 14 says, press on toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. None of us are truly free to be Christ's children until we have laid down everything that hinders us from moving forward. Hebrews chapter 12, rather, in verses 1 and 2, talks about that pressing on toward the goal, pressing on toward Jesus Christ in the race sense. He says, lay aside everything that hinders you. You know, you see those runners, they come out, or basketball players before the game, they have those jumpsuits on, right? But before they run and before they play the game, they take those off, don't they? Because there are aspects of those outfits that restrain them, restrict them, that keep them from being as fast as they could be or being able to move as quickly as they want. And so they lay aside those things that hinder them. And folks, whatever things are on our lives that are hindering us from being all that we can be for Jesus Christ, we've got to lay those things aside so that they do not hold us back, as the writer of Hebrews said, that we might run the race with endurance, that we might press on. You know, past affections must be abandoned because they bind us to that which is passing away. History provides an incident illustrating this important principle of putting things behind so that we can move forward, so we can press on. Julius Caesar landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman legions. He took a bold and decisive move. Ordering his men to halt on the edge of the cliffs of Dover, he commanded them to destroy the ships that brought them there, saying, if you know there's no retreat, you'll fight harder. If you understand there's no going back, you'll do everything that you have to do. He deliberately cut them off. And that's exactly what they did. They fought with all their might because they knew there was no retreating to the beach and getting on the boat and going back to Europe. They had to fight. They had to win. Folks, in the Christian life, if there's ever anything in this life that you have to do, that's it. You've got to win. Because the alternative is too horrible to even contemplate. A similar psychology for discipleship is suggested by Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. He says, "He who loves his mother or father more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now, Jesus boldly stated that in order to be his followers, we must break any and all ties that weaken our commitment to him. There is no one on this earth that should be more important to you than God. More important to you than Jesus Christ. I love Jenny with all of my heart. I will do anything for her and my children. I will give my life for them. But they cannot be more important to me than Christ. I had a man one time who had done something sinful with his family along with several others. And I asked him, I said, "You do understand that what you did was wrong?" He said, "Yeah, I do, but it's my father." I had a man one time whose daughter was 17 years old, and a 42-year-old divorced his wife to pursue her and to marry her. And I said, "You know you're going to lose your daughter." He said, "No, I don't want to lose her, so I can't say anything to her about that." I said, "But you're going to lose her." But see, she was more important than living for Christ. We have to be willing to show our children that there's nothing more important. It's not that I don't love my children, it's that I love God more. And let me tell you what, there's plenty of room, hopefully, for love in under what you do for God. And the kind of, I mean, even if you have the love of God for your children, then you've given them all that they need. Let me tell you what, folks, when we set forth a precedent that there are things more important than God to our children, they will grow up and they will believe it. And there are things that are more important for our children to be at than the works of the church, the worship of the church, and things of God. We teach our children a devastating lesson. Because I have worked with universities and I have seen children that have left home and being at home and having to go to church and things like that, but now they're making their own decisions, and they're making decisions based on what mom and dad taught them. And if mom and dad said, "Well, we can miss church for this activity or this thing or that thing," then they tell you what, when they get to college, they will find plenty of activities that will fit the mold. And I have watched that within 6 months, I have seen 50% of the kids that came to the student center gone forever. Because they found the reasons that they could miss. And they got weaker and weaker. We need to make sure that we continuously make sure that they understand there is nothing more important than pressing toward God. To attain our goal, we must concentrate all of our efforts on that which we have adopted as our purpose in life. Paul says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize," in verse 14. A goal is an object that the eye is focused on for the purpose of attaining it through constant attention and effort. The prize referred to here is an award like that given to a winner of an athletic competition. Paul compares his attainment of the fullness in Christ Jesus, or his fullest fellowship with Christ Jesus, and his reward in heaven to a trophy that an athlete might win. He even does that at the end of his life, doesn't he? "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And back then, you know, they didn't give out gold medals in the Olympics, did they? They gave out a crown, a wreath. "Crown of righteousness, which Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing." There's a fable about a dog who loved to chase other animals. And he bragged about his great running skill, and he said he could catch anything. Well, it wasn't long until his boastful claims were put to the test by a certain rabbit. And with ease, the little creature outran the barking pursuer, and the other animals watched with glee, and they laughed because the dog could not catch the rabbit. And the dog just excused himself. He said, "Well, you forget. I was only running for fun." He was running for his life, right? Much different motivation. "I was just running for fun." You know, we don't need to be going through this life just for fun. We need to be running for our lives. Because that's exactly what we're doing. We're running for our spiritual life. You know, that does make a difference. Motivation is the most important factor in everything we do. Why do we do what we do? Let me tell you what, if our motivations are right, we will give like we need to give. We will serve like we need to serve. We will do everything we need to do for God because we're motivated right. Problem is, we have problems with our motivations. We're giving for the wrong reasons. We're doing for the wrong reasons. And because of that, we fail. The motivation has to be a focus on Jesus Christ and Him and what He desires for us. Do you really desire this heavenly prize Paul is talking about, or do you prefer the decaying prize of this world? Peter said that everything on this earth, everything will melt in fervent heat, and all the works of this world will be destroyed one day in judgment. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And folks, if you're not living righteously according to God's Word, that's the definition of living righteously, then you won't dwell there. And it's just that simple. The gospel's not hard. We don't always like to hear it. But it is what it is. You know, the prize is described as the prize of the high or upward calling of God and Jesus Christ. Everything about our service to the Lord leads us upward. Upward in service to others. Upward in love. Upward in kindness. Upward in joy. Upward in helpfulness. Upward in our love for God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you have your eyes set on the goal of heaven today? Newsweek magazine reported on what it called the new wave of mountain men. It's estimated that there are some 60,000 serious mountain climbers in the United States. I've tried to do a pull-up, and I don't need to be climbing mountains. So I'm not in that number, in case y'all were wondering. But in the upper echelon of serious climbers is a small elite group known as hard men. These are the men that can go out there and just about climb any mountain in the world and have taken on the most serious tasks. For them, climbing mountains and scaling sheer rock faces is a way of life. In many cases, climbing is a part of their whole commitment to life. And their ultimate experience is called free soloing, climbing with no equipment and no safety ropes, which I call insane. Okay, that's Nathan's definition of that. There was one such man who was considered by many to be the best of the hard men. And he had free soloed some of the most difficult rock faces in the United States with no safety rope, no climbing equipment of any kind. His skill had not come easily. It had been acquired through commitment and dedication to training. When he wasn't climbing, it said that he could be found in his California home hanging by his fingertips to strengthen his arms. That's what he did at home. That's how he relaxed. He had a thing, he just got up on it and he hung by the tips of his fingers and just hung there for as long as he could hang. That's commitment to be good, isn't it? Folks, how many of us give that kind of commitment to Jesus Christ? I mean, He's giving it to climbing a mountain. Why? Because it's there. I know the saying, but it means nothing. And it accomplishes nothing. And when he reaches the top and he comes down, he still has nothing if he doesn't have Jesus Christ. And yet he gives so much energy to it. How many of us are like that, that we have things in our life we give so much energy to, we just literally hang around doing them all the time, and yet we forsake the thing that matters the most? All the money you earn, everything that you'll ever get in this life, will be gone one day. What you gave to Jesus Christ is the only thing that will endure. It is the treasures of heaven mentioned in Matthew chapter 6. Who are the hard men and the hard women for Jesus Christ? Who are those who will bring all their energies to bear for the sake and the cause of our Lord? They are the men and women who will forget the past, face the future, and keep their eyes ever on the goal. This morning, where are you? No, just like the Apostle Paul, you have not attained, no more than I have obtained. We have not reached the full end for what God has planned for us. Because I'm still breathing, right? As long as I'm breathing, as long as I have the breath of life in my body, there's something God has in store for me, so I haven't reached the end yet. The day I breathe my last, and they put this body in the ground, then I will have accomplished all that the Lord had for me, hopefully. Hopefully that's the same thing for you. But where are you? Are you looking around or are you focused on the goal? Are you looking back and that's keeping you from looking forward? Are you stuck in the past and so there is no future? Or are you pressing on, literally stretching and reaching with everything that you have to get to the goal, the prize of Jesus Christ, the crown of righteousness that He will give to all those that love His appearing? And let me tell you what, if you're not living as you should, you will not love it when you see Him appear in the sky. Isaiah chapter 6, it didn't take Isaiah very long, did it? We talked about that a couple of Sunday nights ago. It didn't take him very long at all to realize that I'm a sinful man. I live among sinful people. And let me tell you what, when Jesus Christ burst into that sky, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess. Why? Because we will immediately see all the inadequacies in us. And folks, if we haven't clothed ourselves in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we haven't given our whole of our lives to living for Him, that is going to be a horrifying moment. But it doesn't have to be. Thanks be to God, it's not the only choice. You can press on this morning. You can press forward. You can focus on Christ. Forget those things behind and press forward to the future, to eternal life in Jesus Christ. If we can assist you in that in any way this morning, we want to. If you need to begin that great journey with Jesus Christ, that great race, to run that race, to wake up tomorrow running for Jesus Christ, and you can begin today by believing in Him, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, being buried in baptism, having your sins washed away there in the watery grave of baptism, to rise to walk a new life, a life focused on the only thing that matters. And that's Jesus Christ, putting all things second to Him in your life. If maybe you have done those things and have been a child of God, but yet you have forgotten that He is your focus, that He didn't just save you so that you could just go and do whatever you want. He saved you so that you could serve Him. Come back. Be a servant. Run the race. Get the crown. We can assist you in any way this morning. Won't you let us as we stand and as we sing.
He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown. Sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow.